But as we come to God's word, let us pray. Almighty God, your word is amazing. It is that double-edged sword, able to pierce right through the heart, even to the dividing bone and marrow. Father, we ask that we may know your spirit. Give us ears to hear, minds that are able to understand, and a heart that's willing to act upon what you'd have us hear today. In your name and for your glory. Amen. Now, a few years ago, I joined some friends on a climbing trip to a city called Grindelwald, which is in Switzerland. It's a town that sits in the shadow of the Eiger, Monk and Jungfrau mountains. And before going up into the mountains, I popped into a shop there, a climbing... Sorry, it's not working. Thank you. Will it work today? That's the question, isn't it? Who knows? I popped into a shop just to see what climbing gear was like in Grindelwald, whether it was any better than the stuff we can get in the UK. And the shop assistant came over to me and said, "Can I help you?" And I was rather surprised that she came and spoke to me in English. So I actually asked her and said, "Do I look that English?" To which she said, "Yes, you do." Do you know... We go to a different country and we do stand out. We look different, we behave differently, we sound differently. Just our pattern to the way we live is different. And to them, some of them, they think we're a bit odd. But Peter has been teaching us that as Christians, we are aliens. We are sojourners. We are on the way to glory. But while we are here, we are to live a life that reflects Christ. And that's going to be different. It will be different. We will look different. If you look back to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter is telling for us, what are we going to look at? What is our pattern? And specifically, verse 12 says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable." It literally means live such good lives amongst the pagans that they start to ask, why? Why are you a bit different? Oh, you know Jesus. Well, tell me about this Jesus. We are to be different. That makes people ask questions. Live such good lives that people notice and start asking the question. Now, we could ask the question, what does that look like? What does it mean to live such good lives amongst the people we live with? In our everyday lives, what does it look like? Well, in chapter 2, verses 11 to 25, Peter detailed for us that looked like submitting to the authorities, the national authorities in our country and our local authorities. We also show the relationship we have with Christ in how we relate to our bosses and the people we work with. And now as we're coming into chapter 3, Peter's going to teach us how do we show God through our marriages. Sorry, I forgot this slide. It's just to live such good lives. Showing God through our marriages. Now, sadly, this is one of those things where society has made it particularly awkward, doesn't it, in talking about this. It has become one of those hot potatoes. So I am going to take a little longer than we normally do. We're going to be looking at what is Peter teaching, what is Peter not teaching, so that we don't miss what he is saying here. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives." Now, that word "likewise" means Peter is looking back to what he has said already. So if we have ringing in our head those words, "live such good lives," Peter then moved on in verse 13 of chapter 2 to say, "be subject to every human institution." Then in chapter 2, verse 18, he said, "servants, be subject to your masters." Now in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands." And in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "likewise, husbands, live with your wives." So Peter is not singling out women here. It is part of a whole structure, whereas how do we, as a community, relate to those in authority over us in terms of human institutions? It is Christians, servants, wives, and husbands. Peter is not singling out women here. So how do we show Christ through our marriages? Well, firstly, by wives submitting themselves to their husbands. Now, I'm actually quoting what is the NIV rendering here. The Bible we have is the ESV. You notice the ESV has the word "be subject." That word it translated, be subject, would be, in a sense, there's a fuller meaning of I place myself, which is why I prefer the NIV version, which is wives submitting themselves. I place myself under submission to my husband. Now, submit. What a word. Let's look at that word. I think there's two main problems we have with the word submit. One, when we hear the word submit, wives submit, it sounds like women are being undervalued. Or it can hear, when we hear the word submit, that we are saying women are going to be forced against their will here. Well, let's look at those two objections. First of all, the objection that it sounds like that women are being undervalued by Peter here. Well, the whole of the Bible teaches the equality of men and women. We can go anywhere in the Bible. We can even go right back to the start. Genesis chapter 1, and we have men and women equally made in the image of God. There can be no higher place value than the image of God. The Bible does not undermine women or devalue women. And notice, in actual fact, as Peter has progressed through these examples, there is no... excuse me. There isn't an undervaluing. Apologies. It's been a week of a bit hay fever and it's got in my chest. Peter, as he's given us these examples, there is no undervaluing. So he said about our governments. You've got our government and its citizens. Whatever you think about Boris, he is not worth more than we are, and he is not worth less than we are. No matter what you think about your boss is not worth more than you are, and your boss is not worth less than you either. There is an equality in the examples here. So now that Peter's moving into husbands and wives, Peter is not undermining or undervaluing women here. And maybe we can look at the example of Christ here too. When the Lord Jesus Christ submitted to the authorities, when he was willing to submit to him being arrested, to going through a trial and being executed, was that in any way affecting his value? No, it wasn't. The Jewish and Roman leaders are not worth more than Jesus. And so some of us may struggle with this concept of submitting and that it sounds like it's devaluing us. But it isn't. And when we do feel that, may we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, how he submitted to human authorities, and that didn't undervalue himself. Rather, we can remember that Jesus willingly submitted, and our example in submission is to be then more like Christ himself. So picking up on the objection that also it suggests that submission means a forced submission. Is this what Peter says here? Well, in a sense, we can understand why when we hear the word submission that it sounds like it's a forced submission. Because, you know, think about a game of wrestling. The whole point of wrestling is that a stronger person will subdue the weaker one until they submit. We see this in war. If you've been in a place of work, often people are battling with each other. You see it in an argument. Somebody is trying to devalue someone so they can win an argument. We can really see this forced submission idea around us. But note in chapter 3, verse 1, the command to wives to submit is to submit yourselves, which is why I brought out the NIV version. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband. So this submission is a voluntary act of the wife. The wife freely and willingly choosing to submit to the loving leadership of their husband. And of course, the qualification that Peter gives us is it's their own husband. And what that shows is what works within your marriage in terms of submission will look completely different to what it looks like in somebody else's marriage. It will be unique and different. But for the sake of clarity, let me clarify what Peter is not saying. He doesn't mean that in a marriage you never disagree, that you never put forward your own ideas or seek to influence your husband, that you never take the initiative, that you do stuff that is contrary to the Bible just because you've been told to do it, and it certainly does not mean that you put up with domestic violence. And if any of you are in a position where you are in, experiencing domestic violence, remember, around the church, there are posters as to how you can get help in those circumstances. Please don't put up with it, or don't have friends who are putting up with it. There is help out there. So Peter is not singling out women. He's not devaluing women. He's not saying you are to forcing you to submit. He's saying willingly put yourselves under the loving leadership of your husband. And so as husbands, we are not to force our wives to submit either. So if we are being violent or coercive in any way, then we need to be those who get help too. And again, the number that you'll find around the building is one to call. As a husband, I need to ask the question, am I worthy of the submission of my wife to me? That's quite a humbling question to ask. So we show God at home through our marriages in the way a wife submits to her husband. But we also show God at home as wives win their husbands. Did you notice that? So the submission that Peter writes of is irrespective of whether the husband knows the Lord or not. However, if they're not believers, it's a very important role for the wife in that marriage. And that is to show Christ and so win their husband for Christ. Now, I will have a quick aside here. Peter is not saying that it's okay for a believer to marry an unbeliever. Scripture, it happens, I know, but Scripture is very clear. It has the phrase, do not be unequally yoked. The Scripture is very clear on this. However, it's very common in a marriage that a husband or wife does come to know the Lord before the other one. And what a great opportunity that is for evangelism. Now, if any of us, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has saved us, he gave his life for us, he loves us so much, he wants us to be with him, so he's made a way that we can be with him. That's great news, and we want to share it, don't we? But as we've all experienced in sharing that good news with people, sometimes it's hitting a brick wall, it's hitting the brick wall, it's still hitting a brick wall, and after a while, if we keep on nagging, it's just going to put them off. And in the case of marriage, that's not a great position to be in, is it? But Peter gives us hope, saying, okay, with words it's not working, but don't keep nagging and put them off so they just never want to go there again. He says, through your life, you can win them for Christ. And the way you show it through Christ is the way as wives we submit willingly to our husbands. We speak of God by the way we show God. So it as a husband sees the Christ-like nature of his wife. There's something different about her. What is it about her that's different? You know, in a sense, make your husband see that you're different from the wives of your friends, the wives of your colleagues. What's different about my wife? Isn't she special? She's special because she shows the love of Christ in her life. So we are to show God at home. We show God at home through our marriages, the way a wife submits to her husband and the way wives win their husbands. And thirdly, how a wife displays their beauty in spirit. Spirit, do you see that? Sorry, I'm struggling this morning. Chat amongst yourselves, am I? Husbands, tell your wife you love them. Verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now, may I say something that's obvious here? Peter is not saying don't go to a hairdresser. He's not saying, you know, wear nice clothes, wear rags. I mean, he's not saying don't wear jewellery. But what he's saying, instead of putting all our effort into beautifying ourselves externally, in any case, we know it fades over time, doesn't it? I nearly brought in a picture of me on our wedding day, and Laura and I look amazing compared to today. Time. Food makes me the man I am. I'm just saying that. But we are to find the root of our beauty not from the external, but the internal. And of course, that does flourish with time, doesn't it? Character builds. We show Christ more over time as we know him more and more. And that is true beauty. So husbands, let me ask the question, how beautiful is your wife? I'll hold that thought. But where do you look for that beauty? Peter is saying, look at it from the inside, not the outside. Verse 4, in the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. But may I again highlight what Peter is not saying here? Certainly for those of us ladies here who have a more prominent personality, may I put it that way? It does not mean that we rein in our personality and just become a dormouse or, at worst, a doormat. It's not what it's saying. A gentle and quiet spirit is not to do with our personality, but our relationship with our husband. Now, you might be surprised what I'm about to say. To a certain extent, disagreements and arguments are a healthy thing within a marriage. If you've never had one, Elliot, if you don't have one in the next few weeks, be worried. It's okay. No, it's okay. You know, because that's how else do we learn about our differences? How else do we learn how to negotiate? How else do we learn how to give and take? How else do we learn the different needs and how we complement each other, our different expectations of each other? We learn, in fact, that those differences that do cause friction are, in actual fact, a beautiful difference in how we work together. The key thing Scripture says is you've got until sundown to sort it out. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. But there will be times that, despite a healthy discussion, not an argument in that respect, and praying it through together, a husband will want to go one way and the wife will want to go another way. And there are times when the husband will then choose, okay, we will go the way of the wife. And there's time the husband will say, no, this time we're going my way. And this is where that beauty of a quiet, gentle spirit shows itself in submission to the husband. Now, because when it comes to submission, there can actually be different responses, can't there? Now, imagine Laura and I'm not going to give you real scenarios, but Laura and I don't have dyslexia, by the way, if you think we've got a perfect marriage. You know, we argue and all the rest of it. Don't think we've got it sorted. We don't. We learn as much as you do. But imagine Laura and I, we need to make a decision, and Laura differs from me, and I said, no, we're going to go this way. You know, she has various ways she can respond. She can go, okay, Mark, yeah, we go with your way. She then phones one of you up and goes, Mark, he doesn't understand. Is that submission? No. Let me know if that happens. or we could say, it's okay. We say, okay, Mark, we go with your way. But then you get the silent treatment. Is that submission? In a gentle and quiet way? Well, it's very certainly a quiet way. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Or she could just wear me down. Keep going at it. Mark, can we do this? Mark, come on. And, you know, just wear, asking the question. Please don't phone Laura up and say, Mark's been... she was going to be here today. She's not here because of this sermon. She's not here because Nathan's not well, so sorry about that. He's got that sickness thing that's going around. So this gentle and submitting spirit, this quiet spirit, is not about our personality, but how we submit to our husbands. That wife who has that gentle submission, it is, okay, we go with your way this time, that's fine. She doesn't bring it up again. Not used as leverage, doesn't give the quiet treatment, doesn't have a go at somebody else, but quietly submits to her husband's will. And that's the approach of Christ, isn't it? Reflecting him who ultimately submitted to his father's will in all things. So let me ask you here, if you're a single man, what do you look for in a woman? And what about fathers of sons? What are we teaching our sons to look for in a Christian wife? As men, we naturally just go for the outside, don't we? But Peter is saying here, look at the inside too. That inner beauty, not just the external. Now, this is very countercultural, isn't it? As husbands, we are to cherish this inner beauty. Something that's different to what the world says. But we are to be different. We are on the way to glory. In the same way that I looked English, we are to look like a Christian. We show God at home through our marriages, as wives submit to their husbands, as wives win their husbands, as wives display this beauty in spirit, as husbands cherish their inner beauty, and also as husbands are considerate to their wives. Look at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Literally, live with our wives according to knowledge. In other words, be studying your wife. Imagine you're on Mastermind, of those of you who know that quiz show. And what are the first round is, what is your specialist subject? Well, is your wife your specialist subject? Because she should be. Isn't there that game? I forgot what it's called now. There's certainly the game shows on TV where they would ask one of them questions and they had to get it right. Mrs. and Mrs. Yeah. That's always a fun game, wasn't it? What did I not know? But we ought to be, in a funny way, studying our wives. They are to be our specialist subjects, discovering what they like, what they don't like. How do they like to be shown affection? I don't know whether you've ever come across something called love languages. Well, Laura and I have two very different love languages. I like to show my love in what I do. You know, so I might clean all the cars, mow all the lawns, sort all the house out so it's hoovered, everything's in its right place, and Laura doesn't notice it. It's just not her love language, is it? It's not her love language. And then she'd notice if I hadn't done it. But that's the wrong thing. But if I was to just, you know, she had a heavy day, I'd just bring her, make her a cup of coffee, or get her a bunch of flowers and say, I love you, or something like that. How hard was that? Relative to doing all the housework, the gardening and the cars, all I had to do was get her breakfast in bed occasionally or get her something nice to show her I love her. I appreciate her. So her love language is that affection. And we need to find out, and we're all different. We're all different. Find out what works between you, husbands and wives. Learn each other's love languages, as it's called. Find out what encourages them. Also know what discourages them too and stay away from that. Being considerate means staying away from what discourages them. And let me give you a silly one from our home. So I grew up in a home where if you're going to blow your nose, you do it properly, right? So you hold one nostril and you blow it until there's no nose left. I'm sure if Andrew Gibson was here, who's a former GP, he'd say that's why my sinuses are shot. But Laura can't stand it, absolutely can't stand it. So in being considerate, I've had to learn to preferably get out the house before blowing my nose. It's a silly example, but it's about being considerate for I was. I'm so in trouble. She does know what I was going to say. I got her to read it through before I came, so she does know. Now, so we need to change and adapt how we relate to our wives to be considerate to them, supporting them, making them feel special, making them feel loved, and make them feel wanted, building them up. An idea came to mind while I was preparing this. It's something I haven't done, but we know how we put you should do a reminder as to when your wedding anniversary is. It's easier in our family because the date of 19th fits so easily in our life. The 19th keeps coming out. It's the 19th of August, 2005. That's because I've had it pinned onto my arm. But it's not just that. Put a reminder in your diary to ask, how has my wife flourished this year? Have I helped my wife to flourish over these last 12 months? So maybe we'd like to go home over refreshments, over meal, whatever we do, and just ask our wives, have we helped them flourish over this 12 months? We are to be considerate to our wives. Build them up. We're doing really, really well. I've got one more for us here. How should we show God through our homes? It says, as husbands, we are to be respecting our wives. Look at the second half of verse 7. Showing honour to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, we are to treat our wives with respect. For two reasons. They are the weaker partner, but they are also co-heirs. Now again, whole concept of being weaker is an interesting subject in our current societal situations, isn't it? It's quite contentious. But there's two aspects to what Peter means here by the weaker vessel. First of all, it gives us a picture of the way that we should treat them differently. Now, at home, I enjoy a good mug of coffee, and I have a Sports... I meant to bring it in, actually. A Sports Direct mug. It's a big mug, it's a free mug, it's really badly made. If I break it, do you think it matters? No, I'll just go and get another mug. But can contrast that with, on Sunday afternoons, growing up, we used to always go round to my grandparents. They lived on Southview Road in Crowborough, and it was English tea. The best china was out. It was, you know, one of those... What do they call those tower things? Cake stand. There's a cake stand of, wasn't quite cucumber sandwiches, but, you know, ham sandwiches. Do you know, it's the reason I can't have butter in sandwiches. My nan was one of those who did an inch thick butter in. Don't do that. Anyway, moving on. But it was the fine china. How careful was I as a kid? And that's the sort of the image that Peter has given it of the weaker vessel compared with a common ore mug to a bone china, a fine china cup. That gives an idea of how we are to treat our wives as the weaker vessel, the finer vessel. But in the context of what Peter's been teaching, it is also the idea of the relationship in terms of authority in a marriage. And this, again, is another real contentious aspect. But again, we are to be different. Christians are to be different. And this is the difference we are to show. But let me just remind you of the progression that Peter has had here. So Peter's been talking about in terms of how we show God and how we relate to organisations and people. You've got government and citizens. That's one comparison he makes. Equal in value, but there's different in role. We've got employers and employees. Equal in value, but different in role. And now we've got husbands and wives. Equal in value, but different in role. So when Peter is speaking of a wife as weaker, it is in terms of role when it comes to the authority in the relationship. As Paul wrote, the man is the head of the household, but as Christ is the head of the church. And therefore, as husbands, we are to give our lives for our wives as Christ did the church. Our role as husbands within a household is that of leadership. And we are to be leaders, specifically and especially the spiritual leaders. Do you know, Scripture also tells us how when we as husbands stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, a unique way in which we are judged is in terms of the spiritual health of our wives and our kids, if we have kids. That's not to say that the wife can't read the Bible with the kids. Of course she does. You know, when I'm out in the evenings, Laura's always praying with our boys and reading with our boys. It's not that the wife can't do it. It's that ultimately the husband is responsible for the spiritual status and health of the household as a whole. We are, of course, to respect our wives. We're not to abuse that power. We're not to be physically abusive, mentally abusive, emotionally abusive, psychologically abusive, or materially abusive. And if we are, then get help. We are human. We do have problems. But we can recognise those problems and get help. So being respectful means asking your wife for her opinion and listening. God, isn't that hard? Listening more than we're talking. There's some smirks going around. I spotted some pastoral issues around. We need to listen to our wives. We are to be their closest confidant, the one they turn to when they need help, can trust us when they share stuff with us, but also a counsellor. So they trust the advice that we give to them too. You know, how many times do we look at our government and moan at it? How many times do we look at our boss and moan at them? What might our wife do to us? Are we going to be better than our opinion of our government? Are we going to be better than our opinion of our boss? Because Peter says we should be. The second reason we are to treat our wives with respect is that they are equal in God's kingdom. Once again, the Bible is teaching the equality between men and women. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Heirs of eternal life. Totally equal in our salvation and in our standing before God. But if we don't respect our wives, did you notice how it can have effect on us? Our prayers will be hindered. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Husbands who respect their wives can pray freely with God and God freely listens. But if we are selfish, overbearing, or treating our wives as inferior in any way, then we will find the act of praying difficult and we will find that we're not getting answers to our prayers. Because as the scripture says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, but his face is against those who do evil. And so, husbands, if we ever find there's a problem in our prayers, it's finding it hard to pray, or that we find that God is not answering our prayers, be aware, it may be because we're harbouring sin in our lives, and it may be the sin in our lives is how we're treating our wives. So use this as an indicator of our relationship with our wife as well. God will not allow us to stand by and mistreat our wives. We are to show God. We are to show God at home. We show God at home through our marriages. As wives submit to their husbands, as wives win their husbands, as wives display the beauty of God through their spirit, as husbands cherish that inner beauty of our wives, as husbands live considerately with our wives, and as husbands show God by respecting our wives. I know that is different, but we're supposed to be different. We are to stand out as those who are God's people. We are to show God, not just know God, we are to show God through the way we live in this world. In a sense, we're on the way to glory with God's Spirit inside. We're on the way to paradise, but we're not just here for the ride. We are to become more like Christ, being sanctified. A difference that is seen, a difference that people then says, what is different about you? A difference that then ultimately wins people for Christ. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the power of your word. Father, in challenging times when our world wants to live its own way and wants to put aside the way that you would have us live, put aside the blueprints that you have instructed us with and how we live our lives in a way that glorifies you and also benefits ourselves. Fathers, help us to be those that are willing to show you at home through our marriages. Father, we ask that you may protect us. Lord, I ask that each of us here who is married, that you will protect our marriages, help us to see ways in which we can help each other in our marriage to become more like you. And Father, even to be humble in those times when if we need to say sorry, and then move on, having asked for that forgiveness. And even times, Lord, we need to be forgiving too. So Father, we ask that we may know your Spirit's help in our marriages. In your name, amen.